Good morning, or good afternoon, class. This is Paul Andrigo, Toronto Real Estate Unfiltered, hosted by the realestatepodcastshow.com. realestatepodcastshow.com. First thing I wanted to do is say thank you, all of you, so much for helping me reach the 22,000 total plays mark. Still unbelievable to me. The first 100 just blew my mind that 100 people would listen. Then 200, then 2,000, and then 20,000 happened not long ago, just before the new year. Best gift ever, by the way. This week is sort of different kind of week here in Ontario, and today's podcast that I'm going to be doing is about what's going on with the teachers, the educators, the education system, both the past, the present, and the future. So let me start off by saying I am not and have not been a teacher in my entire life. I don't know how the system works. I don't know how the tiers work. I've seen charts. They confuse the hell out of me. I don't know what's going on with those. It's not my job, so that part of it, I don't know. For me, personally speaking, I don't understand how a teacher who is in the front lines with students, who has been, you know, reviewed well, who's good to the kids that are there, and is a supporter of those children in whatever state those kids are in, because I know that there's a lot of kids who are struggling. And with kids of my own in school, I know how much there is on teachers, and I know how important it is for them to have the resources and have the help they need. And it's infuriating as a parent and as a taxpayer. And I'm talking about a big taxpayer. I pay a lot of taxes in my type of work in real estate. I pay big five-figure tax bills every year. I don't mind paying it. That isn't the issue. What I don't want is I don't want that money wasted. And I'm afraid that that's probably one of the biggest concerns, because I also know over the years what's happened to the excess land transfer tax. I know what surplus is. I know that very well, and I know how bad it is when you give someone who can't manage their own, you know, who can't balance their own books, you give them, again, millions and billions of dollars to manage, and it's almost taken for granted. So I guess what I'll start off for me with, in terms of the story of how this works, is let me jump quickly into my memories of Ontario teachers in the past. So one of my favorite memories from grade school, and I don't really have, I'll be honest with you, I don't really have a lot of great ones, but one of the great ones was in the, I believe it was my grade 7 or grade 8 year at Our Lady of Wisdom, a Catholic school in Scarborough, where I went for my entire junior kindergarten right up to grade 8. Again, it was grade 7 or grade 8, and my teacher at the time, a guy by the name of Mr. Campbell, definitely my favorite teacher of all of them. Went to school with John Candy, actually, he told us. And even back then, I kind of had an idea that might be a good thing, because John Candy has become sort of this regular theme in my life. And I'll tell you those stories later or at the end of this one. But the teachers were going on strike. I don't know what for. I was in grade 8. I didn't know, and I didn't really care. All I knew is that we weren't going to have school that day. So because I was on good terms with Mr. Campbell, and we joked around enough with each other, in terms of, trying to keep things light and try to keep the day manageable. I think I joked around or said something. So if you guys are going on strike, can I go on strike? And he kind of laughed and said, well, you can't really go on strike. I thought for sure I could if you guys could. And I said, well, can I help you guys strike? He said, well, actually, you're not supposed to. We can't really get the students involved, but I guess I can't stop you from being out there. So the day they decided to strike, I came to school anyways. And I remember it was me and maybe I think two other friends of mine that decided to do this. We came by and we helped them carry signs that day. I mean, we didn't know what we were doing. And I don't think it really mattered. It was just the sign of, like, he was such a good teacher. To this day, again, because I've met over the years, I've had a couple of ones that I think should have been fired and tied to the stake. And then there's the occasional, there was him, and then there was another teacher slash coach in high school that, a couple of teachers slash coaches in high school that put me on a path that literally was life-changing. And I think it's directly why I am where I am, is because of some of those connections I've made. So anyways, that was my beginning. So I, at that time, I think, I don't know what I did at that age. I just know, I remember there was a lot of food. People kept bringing food. I'm like, this is really cool. So what I just finished doing this morning is bringing some local treats, some Costco treats, because, yeah, I'm a father of two. So Costco is a very regular stop for me. So I picked up some desserts and dropped them off to some of the local schools, to the teachers who are striking this week. And bottom line is, in my opinion, again, as a taxpayer, A, I want to make sure that the right people are doing these jobs, number one. I don't have any control over that. It's not my say. But for the ones that are, again, doing their, you know, pulling their weight and going above and beyond and adding, you know, and being the kind of teachers that, again, you know, the some of the ones that I've met, and they need to have some sort of security, then I want them to have that. I mean, I want them to have the security of perhaps what the what, you know, like the amount of money that, for example, the premier makes, or perhaps the union guys make. I don't know how it all works, but I do know that it's probably an upside down triangle where the people at the top make the most and the people at the bottom make the least. I don't know if that's true. Again, don't quote me on it. I just think it should be the other way around. I think if anybody should be getting paid the most, it's the ones in the front line. The teachers should be making enough so that their bills are paid, their standard of living is good, and above and beyond that, that they're, again, that the teachers being chosen and the ones that are keeping the jobs are the best of the bunch. The ones that want to be around kids, I just don't want them, and this has been the case for me in my work for many years, is I've sort of become the one, I've been sort of focused on taking care of those who take care of others, like the people who are the helpers. Even in the last few years, I can tell you that a majority of my clients have been a couple of teachers, a principal, a paramedic, a couple of nurses. This is just like in the last 2 years, probably. And these people, again, I hear their stories. I know what you guys see. My clients who are teachers, they won't say it on Facebook, but they'll tell me when we're grabbing a beer or a coffee or going on tours or whatever we do, they'll tell me what's really going on behind the scenes and how screwed up it really is. And it shouldn't be that way. Again, there's enough going on right now where, you know, the teachers have to think about that. And not just the teachers, like anybody who's in that kind of profession where there's, you know, there's definitely a big need in the classroom, especially for kids that have special needs and everything else. There's a higher responsibility than just showing up for work and punching in and punching out. I don't want any of those kind of people as my kids' teachers. I only want the ones who have worked hard and are ready to, again, be you know, be more than just a teacher, to be perhaps a coach, to be a leader, to smile at a kid who's just not having a great day. If you have kids, you'll understand where I'm coming at with this, especially in the grade school years. I mean, they're not studying, you know, elite level chemistry or physics. That's not really what they're in a position at that point where their minds are being formed, and how they think is being directly affected by the adults that are in the room with them. And if there's positive reinforcement, there's creative teaching being done, there's knowing when to, you know, have a kid take a break, and all those kind of things that are individual. I get it. Every kid is individual on that. But that's where, again, I don't know the science behind the class sizes. I say if there's more, if a teacher who is, again, being paid correctly and knows that she needs or he needs someone else in that class or something to be able to make this happen, that should just go without saying. I mean, in Canada, it just feels like to me that we find money for things that are important to us. I just keep hearing about it, especially international aid. We seem to find money for other things around the world, but we can't correct what we've got here with teachers right now, with veterans, all that kind of stuff that we perhaps a housing, food scarcity, all the stuff that needs to be addressed here so that we can be a more powerful nation of helpers when we fix those issues. So I think, you know, there's definitely got to be like an inflection, a look inside. That's my two cents to those of you who are listening, to those of you who are out there, to the teachers, to the support workers, to the parents, to the guardians, like people who are the support team of those children. I'm with you guys. I think you all want the same thing. You don't want to be out on strike. You don't necessarily all agree with how this is working. I've heard that. So the last part I want to add to this conversation is about the future. One of the best quotes I can think of that I've heard over the years, and this has to do with something separate to the concept of what teachers are going through, is that the future itself, again, is not it's not cut and dry for a lot of teachers. In fact, the best way for me to say this is that for those of you who are surviving on one income, for example, the teachers that are surviving on their one income, for a lot of you, because of the fact that that's what you do, then you're also in a position where if you don't have that income, you might be one step away from poverty or from homelessness yourself. So how does that make you feel safer in your classroom? Just like I've told my police clients, my nurses, my paramedics, my firefighters, and again, I've had, again, the most incredible list of clients, and these to me are the rock stars. I get to meet real ones, but the people who go into burning buildings and go into situations of distress and not know what's going to happen after that, to me, those are the ultimate rock stars. And I try to make sure that I take care of them in terms of their futures better than anybody else, including their unions, including, you know, other financial planners they might have. So for me, when I talk to you guys, even the teachers, what I tell you guys to do is do not forget to put yourself in a position where you are not solely dependent on the income you are receiving from teaching. So I don't mean that you can afford to, time-wise anyways, get another job. I know there's some of you out there that are doing that. So what I'm referring to is the idea of having the passive income of real estate. And it doesn't actually mean that you need to become a landlord, even though many of you have. And that's a very passive exercise and the multifamily property investment portfolio that I'm building for some clients right now is going to be the lottery for a lot of you. To have a two or three rental property, two or three doors that you can rent out, live in one, rent the other two, whatever it is, you'll always have that passive income coming in. You won't really have to do much for it. Other than that, it's owning the right kind of property that will be pulling in for you a yearly appreciation. So there's actually several reasons, and I'm not going to go into the chalkboard drawings now, but I'm trying to tell you guys that it's important for you to sort of prepare yourself for what might happen in terms of what the government might do, because you've only got a few things you can control, and this is all of us. You can only control your thoughts, your actions, your words, your movements. You can only control what you are doing in your life. So one of those things for those of you who are in peak earning years, and I don't know if you know when that is as a teacher, I would say probably, after the 5-year mark and you know you're going to be doing it for a while, I would definitely have a strategy where you are focused on the idea of having that passive income situation under control. And this is something that I can help with. This is something that I've done for many, many clients over the years. And I do believe that's the solution that you can take, that you can move forward on. If this idea of wherever the raises are going to go, and I'll be honest with you, I mean, as far as the government goes, I mean, I've read something to the tune of where the government will be spending $3 billion more than they have this year. $3 billion more. I don't even know how to scale that to conversation, but my guess is if you make $100,000 a year, it's equivalent to you probably spending $2 million on a $100,000 a year budget. How do you think that's going to end for most of us? For the average person, bankruptcy, lawsuits. For the government, it's just, well, that's $3 billion more. That's, another $5 billion. You got the, and I call it interest, but the mafia calls it the VIG. The VIG's running on that number, and it gets bigger and bigger. And just look at the U.S. debt, the debt calculator in the U.S. if you really want to find out. I don't even think that number's pronounceable at this point. So, as a parent and as a friend to many teachers and people in your field, I want to make sure that you guys are, again, taking care of yourselves. So the one income is the big problem issue. And if you think about it, which I hope some of you do, and connect with me about figuring out how to maximize and leverage the prime earning years that you're in, I think that's going to be the best solution going forward for a lot of you. It's going to be one that you have some control over. You can't be your best while worrying about, if you're going to have a job or what's going to happen if you don't have the money to, pay your bills or whatever. You need another source of income. Again, not an active source, meaning not another job. You don't need to have 3 jobs. You can't. Not with your type of work. I've been on field trips with my kids. By the end of one field trip, I'm usually exhausted for 3 days. So I know what 20 versions of my own kids packed into a room. I know what that can be like. And I know how important that work is. So it's been said, and this is my wrap up here. It's been said the heart of a true teacher is the kind of person you want in your corner, and not just the heart of a salesman. And that's an actual real saying, and I've used it before, and I think it's worth saying here. So to have the heart of a true teacher, the reason I think I have that is because someone a long time ago, when I wasn't really being, you know, treated well or listened to. Someone listened to me. Someone led me the right way. And then a little bit later on, another teacher slash coach, a guy by the name of Rob Broman. If you're out there, Coach Rob, and I call you Rob now, but I haven't seen you for a long time. But man, what you did to me in terms of just pushing me past the limits of rugby training, and it was just something that I didn't know I needed, but man, did I ever need. And I've seen Coach Joe since then, another guy, a brutal rugby coach from Wales, that was, I guess, another fellow rugby player, and he put us through boot camp, a nightmarish boot camp in grade 9, literally running laps in the gym till we puked. And not until you're ready do you get to go out to the field. It was endless push-ups, just like absolutely, just probably almost illegal in some ways, just the torture. But I loved every minute of it. That's what I needed. Those are the chemicals that I needed, and they were there for me at the time. So for any other kid out there, including my own, of course, and the parent and the kids of those that people I know, the great people I know, and even you guys as teachers, you've got kids in the system, and you want them being taught by the right people, like the ones who sort of jump in, and you know, again, smile and say a kind word, and again, aren't so stressed out and worried about their jobs that they're not mentally there. So I really hope that is what happens for you guys who are on the strike lines, and I'm going to try to keep you fueled, keep you focused, but I also need you to think outside of the box, and perhaps the government machine might not let you win this. I don't know how it's going to end, so I think you need to also think about what you can do for your futures. Thanks for listening. Hopefully this was helpful.